This podcast is a Folk Media production.
So we know of Zoomcar as a car rental service. Often the words Zoom car splashed across a vehicle, more or less on the outskirts of a city, right? Well, here is a lot more, not just to Zoomcar's journey, but also its COO, Sudhindra Reddy, who's been a scientist with the Defense Research and Development Organization for the Naval Base in Hyderabad, and also moved to managing logistics for an FMCG brand to now running Zoomcar. Stay tuned. You are listening to Mashable India's How They Did It podcast. It's season two of How They Did It, and we go a little beyond just new and disruptive businesses. Of course, we will speak to many of them in the season, but we will also talk to the chiefs of all things coal. Well, that doesn't change. Across the biggest companies, people who've carried forward legacies and generations of businesses, also on how they are sort of treating their profile, their workplace in India and across, and seek lessons and stories from them that can be an inspiration to many as they tell us how they did it. But before we proceed, well, you know, it's the post-pandemic world and we are all remote working, and this was recorded over a video conferencing call. The quality may be a little bit here and there. Please bear with us. I am Priyanka Ganwani. Let's begin. Welcome, Sudhindra, to How They Did It. How have you been?
Great. In fact, I've been working from a remote workplace. So currently, since we are operating out of office, I get the pleasure to work from my farm. Nothing better than that, right? Work from a very green place.
Yeah, that's nice. Did you use the Zoom car to get there?
Yeah, I did.
Wow. Okay. So that sort of brings to us that, you know, the recent past, how has it been for you operating and managing and this whole system of rental cars, you know, especially in the past 6 months, how have things changed for you? Where is the back end is concerned, or where is the, you know, consumer insights are concerned? What have you been seeing and observing?
Sure. More or less like the macroeconomic scenario, even Zoomcar took a massive hit during the first lockdown, right? The lockdown 1.0, as the government calls it or the papers call it. We just had almost like a zero B2C revenue. We had sporadic bookings coming in when the interstate passes started off. But all the while till, let's say, unlockdown realistically happened, there were a lot of use cases that we discovered. We started ferrying people from the government agencies, doctors, other essential service employees. We started doing employee transportation for these guys, more or less at very subsidized prices from our end. We did a lot of deliveries like groceries, medical and pharmaceutical deliveries that we did, right? So we kept our B2B revenues on. And during the same period, we also started hiving off some of our internal products into revenue generating streams. So we have launched something called as Zoomcar Mobility Services, in which we are now offering a white label backend solutions for OEMs and dealers so that they can go ahead and offer subscription services for their consumers. And we also have started IoT as a subscription service for a lot of the fleet operators as such. So, and as we speak, as we stand today, the entire B2C revenues are back. And in fact, the entire pent-up demand is showing up. Especially because still the airs are not yet quite clear, in the sense that people are still wary about traveling in groups, in flights, planes, buses, right? So still there is that kind of paranoia that, hey, the second wave of COVID is going to hit us, right? So, and for any travel need, which is drivable in a sense, if you realistically think about it, the entire breadth and width of India is drivable. But realistically speaking, people are okay to continuously drive for like 10 to 12 hours a day, which means that, let's say, anywhere between 1200 to 1400 kilometers over a couple of days is doable. So people are taking their staycations, work vacations, going to remote places like Ooty, Coorg, right? Including we have seen people working out from Leh Ladakh. So we have random use cases that have come up now. Earlier, the same destinations we would probably tag as vacation destinations, but now the same thing the system tags as.
It's all the same now.
Yeah, pent up demand has come up really, really well for us.
So, how has it been like for you to operate with your team? You know, like managing your team, managing, as you said, the B2B part of it, where you're managing IoT, the IoT product and the SaaS product, as well as, you know, the B2C part where you're looking at fleets maybe across the country. So, how has it been like for you to manage this with your team? You know, what's the day like?
I think typically the day starts with our morning meetings and our weekly reviews, right? Weekly reviews, we generally keep it towards the end of the day. The daily morning meetings are something that helps everybody across Pan India to come to the same page. So we operate roughly at about 45 cities, currently more than 10,000 fleet. And we do have a significant portion of this fleet on subscription services as well, which means that people like you and me who have opted for long-term car subscription are also our privileged customers. And along with that, we do a very high number of rent-up bookings on these cars. So during our daily calls, we go about talking across all the regions, everything that these regions are facing. Typically, during the lockdown period, we used to talk about how exactly is the particular region doing, how is the team holding up, especially since it has almost been close to 8 months now that the teams have started working remotely. But if you look at the ground teams, they still have to do some activities physically, right? Let's say taking the cars to workshops, sanitizing these cars. So there is some bit of touch that happens, but otherwise the entire corporate team as well as the corporate to the local regional teams has been working very, very smoothly. And I would have to take this not just with our own organization, but across organizations, across different business verticals, we have started seeing this, that people have really taken to it, right? Though there is a sense of disruption to their work-life balance, the people have found their new norm, right? How do they manage their entire the work at home as well as work at office, right? In the same physical space. I think we did a lot of trainings and counselings internally for our remote teams as well on how to balance this out, mental well-being. While we have taken out the stress of traveling, there is still the stress of working from home, kids and spouses and parents jostling for the same physical space, right? While you are being paranoid about all the touch points that you have with outside physical space. So we did have a lot of these mental well-being workshops that we had. We also have smaller group breakouts. People just generally log in into their own Google Meets or Zoom spaces without any particular agenda. It's almost like you are sitting next to four or five of your colleagues, right? You are doing your own work and you just chat up with the other guy who is on the call on what is happening on his screen, and or maybe you're just taking a tea break, right? So people have their own breakout groups as well. Before they jump into these scheduled calls. So I think more or less people have found their new norms. But as you look at it after lockdown, I think after the first unlock happened, people did start moving out, started meeting people, other people maybe once a week in spaces outside their homes as well. So I think though the full norm hasn't hit us, people are still having this sense of wariness. But I think this remote work really, really works. In fact, we haven't seen any big hit on the productivity. If at all, it has only improved. I wouldn't shy away from making that statement as well. Because now people find that extra 2-3 hours of time, which otherwise was spent traveling, right? Now they find that time as well, either for their own personal work or for office work. So all in all, I would say productivity has taken a boost there.
So what is also interesting about, you know, your work
journey, and which is why I thought that it'd be great to sort of, you know, speak to you. You've actually graduated from IIT Bombay, and you know, your first work stint says that you've been a scientist in for the Defense Research and Development Organization at this naval establishment in Hyderabad. And cut to, yep. you know, you were with Procter & Gamble, and cut to where you are today. So where is your daily expertise of work is concerned today? How has your past experience, especially being a scientist, and what was that like? How did you bring both together?
In fact, it's quite unconventional journey that I've had. Yes. So the stint with DRDO was pre-MBA, pre-IIT Bombay times for me. So right. I was a scientist with Chief Construction Engineer DRDO at Hyderabad. But my entire work experience at DRDO was in a remote part of northeastern India. So I was working out of Assam, developing a turnkey missile launch facility for Indian Army. Right. So DRDO, as you know, developed the entire missile range that we have, right? Agni, Prithvi, right. Trishul, Nag, a lot of them for different multiple use cases. But all these army missile regiments also wanted these turnkey projects in which these missile warheads as well as the launch vehicle could be hosted. So I was responsible for developing one such project. Again, very harsh conditions, responsible for about 2,000 odd people walking in every day, and responsible right. for almost 300 crore spend over a 3-year period. Right. So it's a completely different experience as a civil engineer. But that really, really instills in you the sense of empathy and responsibility towards people. Being the head of the work project, had a lot of different kinds of experience when it comes to dealing with people, right? Right. So that blue-collared workforce experience helped me a lot in the current journey. P&G work experience was a very long one, instilled a lot of different values and ethos, people's first, principle-driven organization, 180-year-old legacy for P&G, right? And a lot of firsts that P&G did in the business world. So treating the entire employees as your own family is something that you learn a lot from there. And one of the core principles is family first, then friends, then the company, right? That is how you instill yourself. And if you can take care of yourself well, then you would obviously take care of the company's interests as well.
So what's the way forward for Zoomka now, you know, and just as something that crosses my mind, that, you know, when you looked at hiring people, are these people from different backgrounds? Because you've been a relatively different background as well, you know, not just sticking to automobile. So how does that work? Have you been open to hiring people across the space, or, you know, what is it that you look at when you hire people for Zoomka?
Typically, we do look for people from a different background, right? We just look for the kind of skill sets that we want out of these people, but we generally don't want people from the same business line, especially like automobile. Like, typically, you wouldn't want a person from, let's say, Ola or Uber coming in, right? Because there is a kind of a baggage that these people are carrying, saying that, hey, automobile industry should work only like this. These are the kinds of barriers or constraints that you will have, and these are the kind of solutions. No, you want people from different kinds of industries. We had people coming in from hospitality, we had people from food, we had people from other tech industry. Right. So typically depends on the skill sets that you would want. For example, many of our business managers are also from industries like OU, right? So that's to put the customer experience first, right? Which is where people learn from the hospitality industry, that how do you treat your customers better? How do you get your business demand going in, right? We found people from media industry coming in. We found people from the food industry coming in, right? So you don't want just a typical siloed mindset. You want diversity of thought over there. Diversity of gender, diversity of geography, diversity of thought. All of these are very, very important for any organization, not just for us, right? You can't just say that, hey, I'll have a gender diversity. That in itself will give you diversity of thought. That is just a misnomer there, right? Because people generally associate diversity with, hey, I had how much of gender diversity and that's it, right? I have met my diversity goals. Right, that is how you typically find a HR thinking. But as that, you would also want a lot of diversity of thought, especially when you also think about what sort of background, right? Is this a small town guy? Is it a metro guy who is coming in? What sort of pedigree are these guys coming in? If you just cram your entire organization with IIT IIM guys, yeah, you would have very high performing organization, but yeah, you would have a certain kind of stereotyped thought process there as well, right? You would have to have a healthy mix of different kinds of background diversities there.
Right. And what's the way forward for Zuga taking your, you know, your B2B as well as your B2C approach moving forward?
So, as you might be aware, we have taken a pivot in the sense that moving away from a completely asset-heavy, owned asset kind of a business model to asset-light, two-sided marketplace, right? So how it typically works is anybody who is looking to purchase a car or to own a car for a longer time have an option of picking up a car on subscription. In simple terms, it is a typical car lease. Right. You would have a very variable tenure, not like your 3 year or a 4 year lock-in that you would find on a car lease, but as short as 6 months to as long as 3-4 years could be your tenure. But the kicker is that it's purely pay-per-used. Let's say, for example, you're not using your car for a single day or for a week for whatever reasons, right? Maybe you're taking a vacation, you don't have a use for the car for the next 2 days. You could just share the car on our marketplace. And that is where for those 2 days, for those 5 days or a week, we find the demand for the short-term use cases and we get the car utilized, right? So typically we have found that with a single shared car, we knock off 10 cars physically from the roads, right? For every single shared car. That is how our vision goes on how can we contribute towards lower carbon emissions on the road, right? That is how we associate our overall mission that we are here to fulfill. So when a subscription car comes in, obviously it has a lot of additional advantages that you are purely paying per use while getting the benefit of having a car for long-term use, right? Without actually buying into it. And you don't have to go through the hassles of switching cars, actually selling those cars, buying a new car and all of that, right? At any point in time, you could just give this car back and choose any other car. So this subscription services is something that has catapulted us to achieve the 10,000 car fleet that we have today. Roughly about 90-95% of our fleet is on subscription. The remaining bit is the fleet that we hold at transit points like airports or railway stations. But otherwise, the entire fleet is on subscription business. And since we already started our B2B subscription services like ZMS, we also anticipate a lot of OEMs being able to push a lot many more subscription cars onto the road. We have an audacious goal of bringing in more than 1 lakh cars over the next year onto the subscription, which means that that will also enable most of these cars being available to the short-term rental demand as well, right? So we are seeing a 10x growth goal for the next year that we have set up for ourselves. Along with that, we are also looking forward to expand our footprint to Southeast Asia as well as Middle East countries, in which we are going to offer our both our subscription white label solutions as well as the IoT subscription services to fleet operators as well as OEMs over there, right? So that's already in works. That's something that you would see soon, probably the next quarter in itself, right? This quarter and next quarter is going to be very exciting there, in which we are going to take something which was purely built in India for Indian consumers and Indian use cases being used across the world.
Right. So just to understand, now when you say that you're building the OEM for other consumers, are these other front-end people also car fleet operators? How does that work?
So typically, let's say, for example, you are a Maruti or a Hyundai or a Tata. Right. If you were to offer your own subscription services, you could go to typical leasing partners like ALD or LeasePlan or Oryx or any other, their own financing arms as well, right? The problem with all of these guys is they can give you a car lease in different form factors. That is all that these guys can do, right? In fact, any other player, including our competitors, can only offer a differentiated lease program, right?
Okay.
They cannot provide a share back. Okay. So the pure paper use for the subscriber offering doesn't come in. Okay.
Right.
How and why we are able to offer, Zoomcar is able to offer, is because of our IoT stack that we have and in-car devices that we have developed, right? So these IoT devices enable us to completely provide a manless, touchless consumer experience. And are able to derive how the asset is being used. We have our own proprietary patent pending driving behavior score that we push to our renters and subscribers to ensure that the asset is driven better. And this touchless digital checklist experience for our short-term renters. So this entire package as such enables us to provide a pure subscription service, right? So you can switch on and off whenever you wish as a subscriber. For any other guy, all you get is a short-term car lease, right? You pay for 6 months and that's it.
Right.
That is all that you can do, right?
Right.
So with this offering, a lot of OEMs are very much excited as this opens up a new demand channel for these guys. A, this is a digital channel with which they can start pushing more of their inventories, right? As you have would have seen last 3-4 quarters was a disaster for Indian car makers, right? With the car sales dipping a lot, right?
Right.
And with Corona, it's just an added burden to bear, right? For many of the car OEMs. This particular quarter has seen a little bit of a spike because of this pent-up demand over the 2 quarters of lockdown. But as usual, it's not meeting even the same quarter last year kind of numbers, right? So they are looking for different kinds of demand channels. And subscription is a very exciting one in which typically, let's say, if you are paying roughly about, let's say, 15,000 per month as an EMI for a typical 7 to 8 lakh rupee car, plus you are spending, let's say, anywhere between 2-3,000 on your maintenance, insurance and all of that, you could pick up a subscription car and end up spending only 7-8,000 for the kind of use that you are doing, with the rest of the subscription fee being offset by you sharing the car back on the marketplace. So this enables a large cohort of consumers who are otherwise not willing to put that kind of money, which the car makers want them to pay up for them to sell a single car. This also brings a lot of consumers who are otherwise driving their two-wheelers or probably using Ola, Uber or any other peer-to-peer car sharing platforms, also to be able to use one other differentiated shared mobility service that is available to them. So yeah, for any OEMs, this is going to be a very good offering, the subscription services. And for the consumers of the subscription services, they get the added advantage of the brand promise that these OEMs would bring in, as well as the marketplace that Zoomcar brings in. That is how a car OEM would be able to use the white labeled subscription with their own brand, with Zoomcar providing the entire backend. While for the fleet operators, I think more pertinent offering for them is the entire IoT tech stack. How exactly is their fleet operating, the entire control on their fleet? They could derive 30 to 40% better accident rates, reduced accident rates on their entire fleet. Close to 40% better fuel efficiencies, and obviously they get the whole control on the asset utilization optimization problem that they are facing, right? So all of these factors put together makes the ZMS a very sweet offering for the fleet operators, any kind of fleet operators, right? We are seeing a lot of three-wheel EV operators in India trying to look at this solution, because they don't have a very good IoT telematic solution that is either directly available from the OEMs or homegrown by themselves, right? The EV industry as such is very, very nascent, and it could use all the help that's available.
Right. Thank you so much, Sugender. It was great talking to you. I guess it was a crash course for me to understand how this really works. I've never really used a rental service, but I guess this can be a starting point.
Sure, definitely. You should pick up a subscription car or a rental car, Priyanka, and drive up, right? Thanks a lot for taking the time. Happy to share my thoughts.
Thank you so much.
So catch the show every Thursday. Don't forget to review us. Tell us if you like the show or want anything to be changed. And we are open to feedback. You can do so on Spotify, Google, Apple Podcasts, or any podcasting app of your choice. Catch us all over social media. We are Mashable.India on Instagram and on LinkedIn and Facebook as well. We are Mashable India. And for more, log on to in.mashable.com. Stay tuned.